In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I was watching a football game last night. A late one. Between Washington and Utah. And it was a very close game. Washington is ranked. Utah is not. But they were playing them very, very tight. In fact, it looked like Utah was going to win. But at the very last few seconds of the game, Washington got a big long pass all the way down to around the 20 of Utah. And with about 8 seconds left, the field goal kicker was called upon to try and win the game. But the thing is, in watching this game, this particular field goal kicker that Washington has, he's lousy. He's not good. He's had a terrible season. He's the type of field goal kicker that, well, when you get close down on the other side and it's fourth down, and if it's less than 4 yards for a first down, they're probably going to try and go for it instead of bringing this guy out on the field. And in fact, in this very game, he had already missed one extra point, and he had missed one 30-yard field goal. So they bring this poor guy out, and reluctantly, but that's all they could do at this point. It was win or die, or lose the game, do or die. And so he comes out to try and kick a 38-yard field goal. So they line up, they snap it, and the guy kicks it perfectly. I mean, it just bisects the goalpost. You couldn't have asked for a more perfect split. Wins the game. And, of course, his teammates come running out onto the field. And they are, I mean, I didn't think he was going to survive. It looked like a rugby match, the way they were piling on him. They were so excited. They were so elated. And I have no doubt that for this young man who was this field goal kicker, that this was probably the highlight of his career, one of the highlights of his life. He was so absolutely thrilled to have been there. And I began to think of what I had just seen in relation to what we have in today's gospel. Because this young man, this guy's not going to end up in the pros. Okay, he barely hung on in college. With his miserable season and with everybody, every time that Washington was on television, of course, that it was time for a field goal, the announcers would bring up just how rotten this guy is. You know, he's missed this, that, or the other, had a miserable year, had hit only about 55% of his attempts. It was just brutal. And yet, this young man hung in there. You know, he didn't quit. He didn't leave. It would have been an easy thing to do because he could have said, well, you know, I'm more of a detriment to this team than I am an asset. I should just get out. But no, he was quiet and he was persistent and he stayed there. And he kept building up for himself, if not in the skill factor, in the character factor. And his teammates appreciated the fact that even though he was missing so many times, he was still always there. He was always trying. And then because of this year-long terrible season, he had built up for himself a storehouse of goodwill and appreciation among the players, so that finally, in this, their most important game of the season, the most important play that he had, he was successful and it paid off and he was rewarded for this. What a great thing. I mean, I was just watching and I just felt so wonderful for this young man. But in today's gospel, we have, as St. Cyril of Alexandria says, it's a gospel for all of us. Because we have a man who was successful at everything he did. He didn't have to struggle at all. All of his crops came in big, really, really big. And he had so much that he began whining, almost like someone who had nothing would whine. What do I do? I don't have enough space for all of my goods. What am I going to do? And if St. Cyril says, this is normally something we would hear from somebody who is desperately in need of the very basics and necessities of life. What do I do? I've got nothing to eat. What can I say? And yet this man who had everything, who was so out of touch completely with the realities of most people's lives, was sitting there in his abundance, worried about what to do with all the extra that he had accumulated that year, never thinking once about, well, perhaps I should give some of it away. Perhaps I should spread it around to those who have absolutely nothing. But no, he didn't think that at all. He instead decided to embark on a building program. He was going to tear down everything that he had. I know what I'll do. I'll just get rid of everything. I'll rebuild bigger places. And then I'll put all of my stuff in here, and I'll look back on the year and on my whole life, and I'll say to my soul, soul, look what you have accomplished. Look what you have stored up for yourself, all these things. It's time to take it easy. So let's eat, drink, and be merry, and just enjoy the fruit of my labors. Not, of course, once giving God any credit for anything that he had gotten. And the Lord said that God spoke to him. How, we don't know. St. Cyril says it was just the thought came to his mind that said, you fool, you complete fool, this very night your soul is required of you. What are you going to do then? Who are you going to call? Who are you going to ask for help for all the things that you have now? You're going to be gone. You're going to be yanked out of this earth. And everything that you've worked for is just going to be sitting there. Nothing happening to it at all. And the Lord tells us this parable because, contrary to what this guy was doing, almost like he was trying to set the boundaries and parameters of his own life, we don't have that ability. It's not given to us. We don't know. God sets the parameters of our lives. I remember working with a man back when I was at MCI, back in the late 90s. There was this wonderful, wonderful man. He had just turned 65. He had spent the last 2 years telling all of us who were much younger at the time. There was a time that I was younger. It was way back then. But telling all of us about how he had made all these plans, what he and his wife were going to do, that they, you know, they had been counting down the days until this happened. And this was a good guy. This wasn't a guy who was storing up things, you know, unnecessarily. He was simply looking forward to his retirement. Well, we found out 2 months before the date came that he had developed a terrible cancer, and he wouldn't live the year. Not 1 year. And it affected everybody on the floor that knew him, because they were saying, can you imagine? We've been hearing nothing but his plans and how he's wanted to do this, that, and the other. And he was so excited, and we all thought he deserved it. But yet now something like this happens. Now, of course, this wasn't a punishment from God. Why God chooses those who go when they do, we don't know. It's completely out of our realm of consciousness. it's completely out of our ability to even begin to examine or to guess or to try and think why that happens. We just know that in God's mind, our lives are set for whatever reason He has in His own mind. And it can only be for His glory. We know that. But for us on earth, when we see something like that, it bothers us. It upsets us because we think that somehow it's not fair. Yet we know the Lord Himself said that it rains on both the just and the unjust. In this case, it was raining on the just for my friend back at MCI. In the gospel today, it's raining on the unjust. But the point is still made that we must be prepared at all times to go and be with our Lord. St. Paul tells us, he says, look, if I, you know, live or die, he says, it's all the same to me. If I die, I die to the Lord. I will be with the Lord. That's great news. If I live, I will continue my mission of spreading the gospel. That's great news too. So either way, I can't lose. That's what St. Paul said. That's how he felt. That's how he thought. And that's how we should all feel and think also. Because we simply don't know. Accidents are called accidents for a reason. Sometimes they happen to us. Sometimes lives are snuffed out just like that. Other times, people live forever. And sometimes even the most evil people that we can think of seem to live forever. And we don't know. We just don't know. But the Lord does. He does. And He wants us as Christians to be ready, to be prepared for this. Because He's simply saying to us, look, put your treasure in the things of heaven, not in the things of earth, like this man did today. Because the things that you treasure up in earth aren't going to do you any good. You can't take any of it with you. Not a bit. And as I've told many of you before, I've really thought this through. If there was a way of taking something with me, I would have come up with it by now, believe me. Because there's a lot of things that I'm attached to in this life that I wish could go with me. But I know it won't. It just won't. And so why waste time hoarding up things or working towards things that you really don't need, that you really don't care about? The Lord created us to love Him. In loving Him, we are to become communal people because we share in His body and blood. And by becoming communal people, we reach out to others as well. We understand that nothing that we actually have is our own. Nothing. We don't own anything. We don't possess anything because it's not coming with us. It's here for our use. It's what we do with it. It's how we spread it around. These are the things that build up true treasury in heaven. So that when that day comes, the Lord won't be saying, "Thou fool." He'll be saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a little, now come and inherit a lot," because that's what He's promising us. That's what He wants to give us. It's a bargain any way you look at it. If we could offer it on Black Friday, I would do it. I wish we could. I wish we could put some advertisements out there on Black Friday and say, look, you want two phones for the price of one? How about just a simple commitment, belief, and agreement to share your life with others and you can have eternal life? How's that for a deal? Wouldn't someone take that? But that's what's being offered to us. That's what we're getting in return for simply sharing our lives, for sharing our faith, for participating in the salvation that the God of the universe has come to give us. that the God of the universe, who became incarnate for us, who walked among us, who became flesh and bone for us, is offering to us now. That's what we need to be thinking about. Don't get caught like this guy with the grain. His mind was so much on the things of the world that there was just no hope. It couldn't be done. It couldn't be done. No, what the Lord wants is for us to hitch our wagons to His engine, to become like Him, to become one with Him, to manifest Him to every person that we see. That's one thing that we forget about too easily that we should always remember. It's not only that we are manifesting Christ because we are little Christs to our neighbors, but that every one of our neighbors is Christ as well. That what we do to them, we are doing to Jesus Christ. That any person you see, no matter how destitute, no matter how deranged, no matter how poor, sick, pathetic, whatever it happens to be, that person is Jesus Christ to us, because Jesus Christ's image is in that person. Let's remember that. Let's store up these things for heaven. Because believe me, the greatest things in the world are going to fade. They all do. We know that. Everything fades. The hardest material over time fades. It's corruptible. And let's not waste our time in it. Instead, let's reach out toward the Lord, particularly in this time of thanksgiving, with gratitude of heart, with gratefulness for what He has given, with a willingness to help give it to other people, and a renewed commitment to bring Him into our hearts and lives. Amen.